the role Washington lobbyists could play in a Trump administration. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio. President-elect Trump has promised to shake up the Washington system, but there certainly are a lot of Beltway lobbyists on his transition team. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams joins us live from D.C. Kimberly, these folks are kind of like HR, I guess we could think of them, for the administration. What are they actually doing?
Right, so they're responsible for helping Trump decide who's going to get a key policy position or identify administration priorities. It's important who's on this team because what comes out of the transition team will shape what the administration is going to look like. Of course, there's no guarantee that members of the transition team will actually get administration jobs.
Now, Trump on the campaign trail, he would always attack Washington insiders, but here they are helping pick out his administration. I mean, how's he explaining this?
Well, yeah. I mean, there are former members of Congress who are now lobbyists, plus regular lobbyists. And business leaders with vested interest in major industries. Trump was asked about this contrast specifically during a 60 Minutes interview that aired this weekend.
We're doing a lot of things to clean up the system. But everybody that works for government, they then leave government and they become a lobbyist, essentially. I mean, the whole place is big lobbyist.
Right. His argument being that the people who know Washington are pretty much the insiders.
President Obama, as a candidate, also talked of trying to limit the role of lobbyists in his administration, but it didn't quite work out that way. Explain how hard is it to do this, run an administration without these lobbyists, it seems.
Apparently very hard. Obama made similar promises about blocking lobbyists when he was headed into office, just like Trump is now. But still, if you look at Trump's plan for his first 100 days in office, three of his six strategies pegged to cleaning up corruption are about reducing the role of lobbyists.
Okay, Marketplace's Kimberly Adams in Washington. Thanks.
You're welcome, Mark.
Doctors across the country say women are reaching out with new concerns about birth control access under a Trump administration. Under Obamacare, virtually all insurance plans must include birth control pills, IUDs, and other FDA-approved services without charging co-payments. From our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
28-year-old Wenwen Yang from Texas wasted no time after the election.
I called my gynecologist and told her that I needed to move up my April appointment to December.
Yang plans to get a new IUD that will last 5 years. Overnight, she says, birth control issues have blown up in her social circle.
There's before Trump and then there's after Trump. So in this after Trump time, it is just, you know, my Facebook feed is just full of women basically saying, I have this, you should get it now.
Legal scholars agree President-elect Trump could cut these services as soon as he takes office, since this part of Obamacare was done through executive action rather than Congress. While that process would likely take months or longer, UCLA law professor Joe Horwitz says women should know they may have to pay more for birth control.
The big picture here is that people could easily lose access.
Horwitz says insurers have baked the cost of contraception into this year's premiums. It may prove to be popular enough that insurers keep the benefit, even if the administration undoes the mandate. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in global trading. In the UK, shares are up 0.4%. In Germany, up 0.3%. Asian markets closed mixed. Some Democrats looking for answers are focused on a surprisingly weak showing from organized labor. Unions did come out for Hillary Clinton, but not in the same numbers as they did for President Obama previously. That helped the Trump campaign pull off surprise wins in states like Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. From the Marketplace desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting, Mitchell Hartman reports on what happened and what's ahead.
Here's Randy Weingarten, president of the American Federation of Teachers, at a rally in Florida just before the election.
Are we going to vote for good jobs?
The union had thousands of members phone banking and knocking on doors nationwide.
Labor put its shoulder to the wheel and worked hard to elect Clinton.
Peter Olney, former organizing director for the International Longshore and Warehouse Union, says the traditional get-out-the-vote effort just failed to deliver.
Labor was not able to convince its members in the significant ways that it had done for Obama to vote for the Democratic nominee.
Exit polls show Clinton won union households nationwide, 51-43%, but President Obama won them by nearly 60%. Peter Olney thinks a more anti-Wall Street, anti-free trade Democratic message would have cut into Trump's appeal. Jan Soltis, a former UAW auto worker at a Chrysler plant in northern Illinois, agrees.
I'm angry, just like everybody else, and still hurting from the recession. You hear about everything being great. It's really not for everybody.
Soltis supported Bernie Sanders in the primaries and didn't vote for either major party candidate in the general election. She says a lot of union auto workers she knows bucked the UAW's endorsement of Clinton and backed Trump.
Even if they're at Chrysler, you'd work twice as hard at what was once a really good job, and you weren't going to make the same money as the people before you.
Just the kind of blue-collar backsliding Donald Trump promised to fix as he went after traditional Democratic working-class voters. Economist Michael Strain at the Conservative American Enterprise Institute says Democrats must now be asking themselves
whether the traditional coalition and traditional allies, of which labor unions were a huge part, came through and is enough.
Especially as unions struggle to keep their membership from shrinking even more under a Trump presidency. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally, Samsung is making a play for your car. It's buying auto parts supplier Harman for $8 billion. The move gives the electronics company a seat at the table as cars become higher tech and more connected. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.